Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This episode is supported by The Finch, a seasonal American restaurant in Clinton Hill, and by C Management, a global leader in creative talent management.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that Sam. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
Hey, buddy.
How are you?
I'm great, man. Just doing great.
Yeah, man. You just got back from D.C. How was that?
Man, it was great. It was good to be down there. I hadn't been to D.C. in about 3.5, maybe 4 years.
Oh, wow.
And that was a great time. Went down for the Ricky competition.
Mm-hmm.
And
who was the best Ricky?
I mean, the thing is about the Ricky... I don't know if anyone out there listening knows this about DC, but that's like the official drink
it is, yes.
Of DC. And so this was the 10th year of their Ricky competition. And it's kind of fun because a lot of times I'll say a gin and tonic should never be just gin and tonic.
Agreed.
Holy shit. Those Rickies, they had a lot of ingredients in them. And it was really cool to see that such a simple drink get transformed into something like
what was some, it? Yeah, well, list off a unique one. What was a unique Ricky?
Allison Hillard, she had one that was a coconut fat washed wild turkey with like turmeric and black pepper and all that stuff. And it was like force carbonated. And there's one like next to us that was done that was like a real like just light, easygoing like watermelon lime vibe. It was cool, man.
It is cool.
They were. It was at Jack Rose, which is a hell of a bar.
Pretty iconic in that town.
Wow, I thought I had a lot of bottles behind my bar. That place is built on bottles. The actual walls are made of bottles. Yeah. It's crazy. And they have their downstairs bar called Dram and Grain that saw its last night on Saturday. For now, they're moving a couple doors down to have a bigger space, and that was really cool. Got to see a bunch of buddies, Dave Lancelone and Adam Birnbach, DC folks down there. Got to go to the Columbia Room.
Love that bar.
Do that whole thing. Derek Brown's
so
bar.
Gorgeous.
Really cool.
Did you get to go to the pop-up, the Rick and Morty pop-up bar?
No, I didn't get to. I don't think it's open yet.
Oh, maybe not. I saw a post on Instagram from them, so I don't know if it's open or about to open. But yeah. Man, the five hour wait that I'm sure is going to come to get into the Rick and Morty bar.
Right, exactly. It's going to be like Miracle on Ninth.
Well, that's where it all started for them. You know, they were doing Miracle, and then they just never reopened as a bar. They just do pop ups. It's now the whole thing's called Pub Pop Up Bar PUB.
Yeah.
So it's just constantly rotating pop-up bar. They did a Game of Thrones version.
They did that,
insane.
I heard it was crazy.
Insane. You got over 100,000 individual Instagram impressions of people sitting in that throne.
Yeah.
What? And it was like a five-hour wait to get into the bar, and then a two-hour wait to get into the chair. Like insanity.
It's amazing.
It was like tailgating. People out in the line would be like ordering pizzas and Chinese food and hanging out, right?
Yeah. And one of my favorite parts of it was I got asked to be on the Shift Drink podcast.
Oh, right. And Jack Inslee.
Yeah, Jack Inslee, our original executive producer here, for Heritage Radio, he moved down there to start up full, it's called Full Service Radio.
Right.
And, man, it was just great to hang out with Jack and, Eddie Kim, who hosts the Shift Drink podcast. His co-host was out of town. So Jack actually co-hosted with him, guest co-host. So it was great, man, getting to rap with those guys and getting to hang out with Jack. You know, he's one of my favorite people in the world. You know, I definitely iced them with a, like a giant Smirnoff Ice screwdriver and brought him a bottle of... Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
There you go.
Thank
you. Thank you. That one rolled in slow. I thought it was a rainstorm.
yeah, it was great hanging out at the Line Hotel. They did a great job with that place. I went there 4 years ago and helped, you know, clean up. It's an old church.
Yeah,
you know?
I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. I went there and helped clean up a bunch of hymnals off of church pews. So it was cool to see it now as a real active place and see what happened with it over the last 4 years since I've been there. So it was really cool. DC's great. Great cocktails. A lot of great food there. And yeah, just a real joy to be able to go down there.
Well, you and I should plan a trip down and do a show from down there.
We should. Yeah. I talked to Jack about that.
Awesome.
We'll do a speakeasy
road tour.
Collab with the Shift Drink podcast. Yeah, man. There was an overwhelming, you know, it's just like the previous weekend when we were in Cleveland, just great to go to other towns and like see how their industry has like such a tight, really beautiful, just camaraderie, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. It's a tiny town. I mean, I think our business in general is pretty tiny. I think we're huge, you know?
Yeah.
But like, you can't really name a city, small or large market, where I can't think of a friend or a friend of a friend, you know?
Yeah. Oh, shit. There was a bar that we went to on Sunday called Green Zone.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, Chris, owns this place, and it's like, it's all like Middle Eastern inspired cocktails. They have a, you'll love this, they have a Sazerac on their menu. Sazerac.
Oh man, I do love that.
Yeah,
you love puns too.
And like it had like date infused like whiskey, and it was like, delicious. But it was also like that was a really cool time because it was after the Ricky competition. Like everyone just kind of congregated there, and it just ended up being like a
giant party.
Yeah,
that's rad.
What about you, man? What's going on? How's the windmill?
Yeah. Okay. I opened Windmill. Basically, the day we got back from Cleveland, which was Tuesday of last week, we did just a soft opening. We just had beer and wine that night for saying hello to our neighborhood and our guests and our friends. And then we kind of officially launched both full menus of both the snacks and the cocktails on Friday. And we've been quietly doing that. I've got a meeting tomorrow with a photographer to come, Eric Metzger, the guy who did my book, to come and take photos of interior, exterior, drinks, and food. And then we'll blast all that out to media, and we'll kind of have our official opening on Monday. But it's going great.
Congrats.
Really going great. Thank you so much. Lots of people have been coming by and shaking hands and saying hello, and it's been really well received, and we're excited about it. So,
speaking of new places opening.
Yeah. There's a new place in Brooklyn, kind of more in your neighborhood, right?
It's on my walk to and from work.
Yeah. Have you been to Voltaire yet?
Sure have.
Yeah. Well, we got Rob Morton from Voltaire sitting in the studio with us. Hey, Rob.
How's it going?
Good, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bore you to sleep over there.
That's all right.
You're passing out. So, Rob, you and I have been buddies for a long time. You used to have a spot in the East Village called Idle Hands. The first time I ever met you, I was there with Chris Elford.
Mm-hmm.
That was my very first time meeting you, very first time being at Idle Hands. It used to be sort of a half subterranean bar. You had to go down a few steps to get in there.
Yep. You guys were sitting at B3, B4.
Wow.
I still remember. Wow. I still remember the night that... that you guys came down.
Crazy. That's a little creepy. that place sadly came and went, but then you opened up Fool's Gold, which is a big, giant whiskey and beer emporium kind of right around the corner from where I live.
Yep.
So I frequent that place. And now you're over in Brooklyn with Voltaire,
mm-hmm.
and you just signed a deal on a place in the Carolinas.
Yep. Oak Island.
Oak Island.
Yeah.
And it's going to be called...
Paul's.
Paul's OKI. Paul's Oaky.
Paul's Oak Island. Paul's OKI. Pokey. However, the locals decide to shorten it.
Yeah, of course, that always happens. But let's back up and let's talk about what you are and where you're from. You started out your adult life and career. You were in music.
I was in the music industry. I ran marketing departments for record labels. So, and also was the Southwest regional manager for Virgin Megastores for a few years.
Southwest regional manager for Virgin Megastores.
Yeah, so I oversaw the five stores in the Southwest region. So at that point, at that time, I was living in L.A.
Holy smoke, but then, man.
When I was living in L.A., I saw the writing on the wall, left the music industry, went into production management. So I was a production manager for music videos and commercials. Because I decided that instead of getting laid off once a year, I'd get laid off every 2 weeks. So, and make a bit more money doing it. Then in 2009, moved back to New York to open up Idle Hands, gave all the money back. And we've just been doing that ever since.
Right. Well, yeah, so what made you decide, okay, I need to be in the booze business?
Mark Shapiro, who is still one of my best friends, or still my best friend, I shouldn't say one of, he and I had been trying to figure out something to do with each other business-wise for a couple of years. And we came up with a bunch of business ideas and, you know, met with investors and nothing really ever panned out. And we're driving up La Cienega Boulevard one day and he goes, well, I just want to open a bar. I'm like, I would do that. But we didn't just do it the way most friends would be like, I want to own a bar. We actually sat and did the numbers and, you know, it took 3 years from inception to ownership. And it was profitable. It was good. But that was such a niche bar.
Yeah.
With like, you know,
so we'll talk about Idle Hands. What was going on there? What made it niche?
Idle Hands was, I mean, the tagline was bourbon, beer, rock. So it's like, you know, I had, with the exception of Char No. 4, well, Char No. 4 and I went back and forth between week to week with as to who had the most American whiskeys on site. You know, and this was before the whiskey boom. This was before, you know, bourbon became big again, and it was still in the tail end of vodka, and vodka sort of taking over
what,
as the,
what year
number
was this?
One. 2010.
2010. Okay.
Yeah. So we, you know, I was still, I could still get bottles easily.
Right.
And
then,
sure.
You know, and then eventually, you know, the East Village was already changing at the time. But, you know, Idle Hands being a subterranean bar, we moved upstairs because upstairs kind of needed help. So, you know, my whole thing is when you double your size, you don't double your patrons, you just double your expenses.
Yeah.
So it got to a point where the writing was on the wall that we needed to sell it.
Right.
So we did. You know, we got out in time. Yeah. But by that time, I already had Fool's Gold, which I don't do the day-to-day of anymore, but I still have my percentages.
Sure. What draws you to whiskey? Why are you so? Why did you seek to have the largest selection of American whiskey?
Because it tastes good.
Well, yeah, agree. I mean,
but it was one of those things where it's like the more I got into it, the more I got like just kind of loved the stories, and it wasn't so much loving the stories; it was loving finding out which of the stories were false and what the real stories were. Because like for every Pappy Van Winkle, for every distiller story you hear. Of how, you know, it's my granddaddy's recipe and stuff like that. I'm like, well, you have a bottle that just came out of nowhere, is 10 years old, and pretty sure that came out of a distillery. I mean,
that's when you start calling bullshit on, like, you know, marketing departments. There's so many out there. You know, every year when I go to Tales of the Cocktail, it's like seeing new brands launch. Or even, like, you go to the WSWA's, like Bar Convent, Brooklyn, even like Whiskey Live, like those things. Like, oh, thanks, man.
Cheers.
Speaking of American whiskey, here's some old Overholt rye that you brought in.
Wow.
Hey, have you ever had that before?
It's my favorite whiskey.
Well, it was the easy thing for me to bring in because it was the first whiskey you and I bonded over.
Ooh, and now they have the bonded.
Yep.
Yes, which I did not bring. I brought the 80.
That's fine. So wait, were you? We did, yes.
I love the hard, like no fade out. Yeah, yeah. Just like
everybody stop clapping. Yeah, everybody stop clapping.
We have a very quick audience.
Yeah. When you opened Fool's Gold and you sought out to have that many, hey, Travis Tober's in the window. Hey, buddy, come on in. Were you already a whiskey nerd? Is what I'm asking, or did you grow into a whiskey nerd because you opened a whiskey bar?
Okay, I was becoming one, but opening a whiskey bar, like, you know, Mark had the music industry friends. Rev was the beer guy, and I'm like, well, what am I going to do? I'm going to be the whiskey guy. And so
right, you just chose your role in the band.
I chose my role in the band, and but it turned out that I chose the role at the right time, where you say it every week. We have a plethora of just a fountain of knowledge here available to us in New York City that a lot of markets around the country don't have. And so I had, you know, from every brand ambassador coming in and telling me things, and having master distillers coming in weekly, just being able to get all of this knowledge, and like also certain people in the whiskey industry that have forgotten more about whiskey than I'll ever know. You know, Ethan Kelly
sure.
at my bar for a while,
yeah,
and being able to sit there and just share drams and chat with him at 3, 4, 5, 6 in the morning once the door's locked.
Well, right, everybody wants to play on an A team. You know, A players don't want to play on B teams. So you created a situation. You built a, you know, to use our getting the ball game analogy here. You built a stadium that the players wanted to play in.
I also made sure I wasn't the smartest person in the room.
Man, that's paramount for me. Yeah. Speaking of not the smartest person in the room, both Max Green, my head bartender and partner, have joined us here in the studio, as well as Travis Tober. Hey, buddy.
How you guys doing? We're also welcome. Two people I don't see enough, but absolutely love today.
Yeah, yes. Thanks for joining us.
I texted this one over my birthday weekend from Boston.
Oh, red. Little Overholt rye. We're talking about American whiskey. We're talking about the old Idle Hands that Rob used to operate down in East Village. And then so Idle Hands had to end up going away because you
yep.
overextended. You expanded yourself and it got too big for itself. As you said, you didn't double your patronage. You just doubled your expenses.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you move into Fool's Gold, which is an easy, what, 2 times bigger than Idle Hands was?
I knew the owner of that space. So I used to drink in that space back in the day when it was Den of Thieves and it was a DJ bar, and I worked at Astroworks Records, and you know, I worked I myself was a breaks and drum and bass DJ. Mm-hmm. This would have been 90
Astroworks
2 93 94 or sorry
Chemical Brothers were on.
Yeah, yeah, Chemical Brothers, yeah. Fatboy Slim, Basement Jacks.
Yeah.
This would have been, you know,
it says 90. The guy in the fucking cowboy hat and the boots.
Yeah, exactly. The one showing me Grateful Dead comics right before air.
Right.
I know some shit, man. Yeah.
Sorry, I misspoke years. This would have been 98.
Sure.
96, 97, 98.
Right.
Sounds about right.
Then it became Idlewild, which is the airplane bar. Then White Rabbit after I moved back from L.A. And I knew the owner, and he was selling it, so I took it.
Yeah.
Partnered up with somebody who, whatever. And 3 years later, I stepped away from it. That's
what I did.
So.
Yeah, that is what you're doing with me. Yeah, whatever.
So going back to the time where you started out, like 2010, you start getting into American whiskey. That was kind of the height of like the trajectory of the fanaticism of American whiskey. I was working at Linnell's in Red Hook at that time, and that was when like shit was blowing up. That's mm-hmm. like kind of
the, yeah, when people's consciousness was really getting awakened.
Yeah, and that's like that was kind of like the beginning of the end of like all the really hard to get stuff that we think about now, like all your like Pappy Van Winkles and your Hirsch and all this stuff.
Well, it's not those. Those aren't the ones I care about. The ones I care about.
Heaven Hill Bonded.
Oh, I know. I care about Old Crow Reserve 86 that went the way. I mean, that to me was an amazing starter whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
That if you didn't like whiskey, I'd put a 2 ounce of that in front of you and have a convert in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But that, you know, everybody looks at Old Crow as rot gut, but that bottling
was my first whiskey.
Yeah, you know, that bottling was phenomenal. Mm. You know, it was 2 years older. 86 proof instead of 80, and different parts of the rick house. So that, like, that was.
Yeah, I remember seeing Old Fitzgerald on the bottom shelf of my local liquor mm-hmm. stores.
Yeah.
Things like Very Old Barton, JTS Brown, like I said, Old Fitzgerald, the Heaven Hill Bonded, like Gold Label.
Yep.
Like all that stuff.
That's ancient age,
the 10-year, yeah.
Oh.
Like that shit, like anything that had like a really poorly designed old school label that was gold, red, white, and black.
Yeah. Yep.
Or maybe there was green in there too. Like that's the shit that I really love.
Now, if I ever run across a ancient age handle, I'll still pick it up.
Every time. Oh, yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
Last summer, my wife and I went up to Abbott's. And we, you know, went around the corner to the liquor store, and he was still holding a case and a half of Wild Turkey 80. snatched up six bottles of that quick.
Why only six?
Well, because
it's a case and a half. Just grab it all.
Maybe my bank account wasn't that.
Okay, all right, all right.
I have deep pockets at the minute.
All right. Break the cap of the H&H&H and have to drink the whole bottle? No, that was a Heaven Hill bonded.
Yeah, and didn't you lose most of that bottle?
Yeah, well.
I remember, I saw the aftermath of that, and it was, you know, somebody brought it to you from Kentucky.
Yep.
Because that's only available at Heaven Hill.
Yep.
It was the white label.
White label. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, things happen. I dropped my bag and it just landed in just such a way. It didn't break the bottle. It broke the cap and most of the contents dumped out before I could write it.
I'd say you could come over to my house and drink some.
And then
I
we had no
mine.
Cap, so we were like, well, we're fucking drinking this.
Yeah. And it like got all of your clothes, which is not
don't care.
Different from That's the way that you normally normal. Live That's your life.
Pretty normal. All right, listen, we're kind of at the halfway mark with Rob Morton and our guests in the studio, Max Green and Travis Tober. We're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back with more from Rob Morton. We're going to talk about Voltaire.
This episode is supported by The Finch, a seasonal American restaurant in Clinton Hill, Brooklyn, where chef owner Gabe McMacken and his team are focused on creating a living restaurant where the choices they make consider the long-term health of the business and of the community. Learn more at thefinchnyc.com. This episode is also supported by C Management, a global leader in creative talent management, representing artists in the fields of photography, creative direction, styling, hair, makeup, manicure, and set design. C Management, management with a vision. Learn more at seemanagement.com.
And we're back. You're listening to the Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network. We just got a little dual studio bomb from Max Green and Travis Tober. That's funny. And no, we also say
we're
all the
a
time.
We're a popular pizza place, and we do say all the time, please come visit us.
Yeah,
and hang out in the studio. So they
you
came
don't
in,
have to just come to our bars. You can come to the studio and hang out.
They came in
the
had
right
a
day to come in.
Yeah, they came in had a quick slug of Old Overhold, and now they're out there ordering a pizza.
Speaking of which,
yeah,
you need some more?
Oh
like
yeah,
that, man?
I'm about empty as well.
Rob, you were in the hospitality game.
So, Rob, you... I am in the hospitality game. So, you closed Idle Hands, is what we talked about before the break. Then you... there was some overlap, but you opened up Fool's Goal, which is... By the way, how many beers do you have over there on tap?
That's 34 taps. 30 beer. Plus 30 beer. It used to be... two wine, one whiskey on tap, one whiskey cocktail on tap. I don't know how the configuration is now.
I mean, I feel like some of our listeners might be tuning in from places that are, I don't know how to put this, but like, you know,
200 taps or something like that.
No, but because, like, larger than New York, right? Yeah. 34 taps in New York
in
City
New York
is massive.
Huge.
Like that's, I can't think of anybody who's got a bigger tap selection off my head. Yeah. Anyway, so you got whiskey and beer there, and now you just opened, like, what, 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago?
6 weeks ago, yeah.
6 weeks ago, you opened Voltaire.
Yeah.
In what neighborhood are you in Brooklyn?
Cobble Hill.
Yeah, the map says Borum Hill, like, Borum Cobble. Like, we're right on it.
Bococa.
Is that what we're calling it, Bococa?
That's what they've been calling for a long time.
I'm in.
Borum Hill,
okay.
Cobble Hill, and Carroll Gardens.
All right, we're in Bococa. That sounds really bad. Not saying that anymore.
Don't say
it.
I don't like it when you say it.
It's a bad taste.
No, just wondering how I sound when
it's
I say it.
It's really a bad taste in my mouth.
Well, I mean, the human baritone sax over here probably sounds all right when you say it.
Okay, well, let's talk about Voltaire. What's going on over there?
I opened that with Mark Drew, mm-hmm. Chef Mike Taggart. We took over the space August of last year. We spent the last part of last year just trying to get the... LOI, letter of no objection, mm-hmm. which is something, I guess, just that is Kings County. Finally got that sorted out beginning of this year. Got our liquor license in March, finished up construction, and opened 6 weeks ago. So,
you know what? Actually, like, I was walking down Smith Street one day, and I saw you, like, you're driving by, and I was, like, going to the bank or something, like, right, like...
You're going to France that day.
I was going to France that day. It was March.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to Chartreuse.
I was looking to park. You were Chartreuse, walking right in front of me.
Like, I hear someone yelling at me from a truck window. He's like, Diamond! Diamond! I'm like,
when did I get an English accent?
I don't know.
You're like, come meet me over at the place. Like, all right, I got to go get on a flight real quick. No, I was picking up my watch from the watch shop.
Yeah, but you were going to France that night.
But I was going that date, like 30 minutes from then. And I had my bags at my bar at Grand Army. And you were like, come check it out. I'm like, I could do that real quick because I really want to see it. That, you know how it is? It's kind of like, I don't know, there's a weird fascination with, like, you know, when you're in the industry, like seeing bars and restaurants when they're under construction. Like,
oh, I love it. It's one of my favorite things.
Yeah, exactly. So you showed me around. You showed me what you're doing. Got to say hi to like Mike and everyone. And you told me the opening date was going to be in, you said July 1st, I think?
Somewhere around there. Something we came like close to hitting it.
But you really did. Usually when someone tells me July, I'm like, oh, so I'll see you open at your friends and family in October.
Yeah.
But you nailed it. I mean,
we finally because we finally had a liquor license in hand.
Yeah.
And there comes a certain point in time where you just have to put the hammers down and say, all right, we're opening.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you'll just sit there and nitpick and you'll never get open and all your money will be gone.
Yeah.
And because you just can't get out of your own head.
Well, it's never finished.
It's never finished. I walk into that bar every day and I see 38 things that's down from 46 from the day before, but it'll go up to 52 on Monday.
Sure.
That aren't done yet.
What would be your advice? Just being conscious of like those things that I always say, you never clock out, but what would be your advice to anyone out there that's like in the process or thinking about opening a bar or restaurant?
Get everything in writing. Get out of your own head. Take your ego out of it.
Ooh, big one.
Yeah.
What's that? Get out of your own head.
Take your ego out of it.
Oh, take your ego out. That we'll talk about that with the next spot. But like that's, you have to. If I were one of those people that were like, oh, I can't stand Yelp, blah, 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 which I've said it a million times, but I will look at it, I can look at a review and sit there and figure out what I can take out of that, what I can change in that. There was a review last week, the bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich was great. The potatoes were slightly oversalted and there was nothing to break the plate up. I would, like maybe a fruit cup or something. I was like, well, we put watermelon slices on the fried chicken biscuit. There it is. There's watermelon slices on the bacon, egg, and cheese. Oh. It breaks the plate up. And it's just something as simple as that. Like, you might not say it to a manager on site at the time, but if you can, you can't get angry at a 1-star review. You can't get angry at a 3-star review. All you can do is sit there and take and learn from it, unless they're just not telling the whole story. Then you can sit there and get angry at a 1-star review, which I did a couple weeks ago.
I saw that. Did you get that resolved?
I did.
We don't have to talk about it if you don't want to.
No, I'll be the first person to say it. I got every single one of the reviews down except for one. And the only reason I care that review is still up is because that person, after my public response, that person told the entire story on their review, which was my major problem, was the fact that they only pointed out one specific instance of a lineage of events that happened. That only took 10 minutes.
Right.
But they only pointed out one portion of the story, and my public response made them go back and change it. But, that's they can go read the reviews if they want to and figure out on their own. But,
yeah. I don't touch that stuff.
I mean, that said, it's like you never remember the glowing reviews. You always remember the shitty ones. But, you don't learn from... like all the good stuff. You learn from the bad stuff.
No, I learned from people coming in and be like, we stopped drinking 3 months ago, but we love it here.
Sure.
I wish you would expand your, non-alcoholic drink selection or your, and I'm not going to say the word.
I'll say it, mocktail?
Oh, yeah. Gosh. No, I hate that word.
A fojito?
Fojito.
The Negroni?
The Negroni? So, you've had these two other bars before. Do you feel like this one's more of a bar or a restaurant?
This one's more of a restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and I will say this is, Chef Taggart and Mark Drew. Like, Mark Drew has brought in an amazing wine list on this one because, we've looked at the neighborhood as well. Whiskey is lacking, even though we were just hanging out with the gentleman that owns Travelers. He has a whiskey bar. He's a little bit further down.
Travel bar.
Yeah. Travel bar. Like I'm slowly expanding our whiskey list, but we are purposely like as my places get larger, my whiskey list and my bottles are decreasing.
Is Voltaire even larger than
No. Fool's Gold. No, okay. It is not larger, but my bottles in Voltaire are a fifth.
Yeah.
Drew and I have purposely withdrawn the bottles and started with a much smaller selection.
Yeah, you build the selection based on what people come in and ask for, exactly. Based on what the space decides that it is.
Yeah, and oddly enough, the selection is calling for more whiskey. So every time I put in an order, we're bringing in one, two, three more whiskeys.
Exactly.
But our thing is that we're ordering in a way to where we're ordering once a month, not once a week.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I don't want to stay at that level where you're ordering every week and you have to stay on top of it. I was like, we can get away with ordering once a month because we're bringing in the volume, we're getting the case discounts,
sure,
and doing that.
You have storage for it, huh?
Yeah,
that's my problem. I don't have storage.
Yeah,
no, that's another issue in New York. I could get case breaks if I could order more, but I have nowhere to put them. Well, so then
what are you 240 square feet?
Yeah.
Do we talk those numbers?
We'll talk about that at the next. We're moving into that. Right. So Voltaire, similar. That's what I'm doing at Windmill. My partner Pierre, he's getting a little anxious, but I said, look, I'm going to stock the bar with what supports the menu.
Yeah,
because we have to have that. It's on the menu. We will slowly build things that are outside the periphery of the menu based on what people come in and ask for.
Exactly, and that's what we're doing with Voltaire.
He's getting a little anxious because this is his first bar ownership. He's worked at bars, but he owns a restaurant and they only serve beer and wine there, you know. And I'm like, look, man, it's weird that he's up my butt about it when at the same time, currently the part that he's handling, which is beer and wine, we literally have two beers, one cider, and a red and a white wine. And I'm like, you can't get up me. Like, I understand you're going to build your list too. Watch me build mine right next to you. It's fine. It's fine. Relax.
You brought beers, didn't you?
I did. I don't know what you guys did with them.
Oh, are they in the cooler?
Yeah, let's grab some beers.
I didn't just bring beers. I brought tall boys.
They're not beers. It's like, it's not a motorcycle, baby. It's a chopper.
Because I listen to your show all the time as we joke about around.
That. So you were listening to the show while you're while you're cruising around in your car here to the
I
south.
Also have an event company, RPM Hospitality Group.
RPM, tying back into your music days.
Yes. Well, no, those are my initials.
Oh,
yeah.
And also my initials, Robert Paul Morton.
Damn, dude.
And last year I was working with Critical Mass after I left the day-to-day at Fool's Gold. And, I was down in Kentucky four times. I was down in North Carolina a lot, helping my parents move to Oak Island from their 30-year home. And so, yeah, you guys were pretty much the standard coming out of the car radio.
We were riding along with you.
You were riding along with me. So when I would get back to New York, I'd be like, hey, blah, blah, blah. Crap, it's been 3 weeks since I've seen you. I should not act like I just saw you yesterday because I just listened to 8 hours of your show.
Right, right, right. You get that weird sense of like hanging out.
I want to start asking you questions about things I listened about yesterday and start talking about I wanted to talk publishing with you because I was like, who wrote the song? I was like, it's pretty probably his song. And then finally, I had a laundry list of questions I was going to ask about the show, about past episodes.
Ask away.
Well, you guys finally covered all of them, through listening to even new episodes, you listened to all of them. But I did come to a realization the other day, and I joke about it earlier. I was like, I'm sure in your life, everyone's talked about your baritone voice. Whereas,
I don't know what you're talking about.
I have no clue. But actually, I actually kind of compare you to more of a baritone sax because you have the baritone, but you also have that warmness of a reed instrument going on as well. I'm just giving you a weird compliment.
I know you're already married,
that's
bro.
That's romantic. Yeah, that's pretty romantic.
That's bromantic.
Yes, bromantic. All right.
We talked about before the show. It's like I used to smoke 4.5 packs of Lucky Strike non-filters a day.
Yeah.
That's how you get this voice.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I did the same thing.
Not for nothing, Rob. Your voice isn't sounding pretty good in these cans right now. So you're driving back and forth a bunch. You're listening to the show. You're down there helping your parents move and all that junk. But also, you were working a deal.
I was.
And you worked a deal. What's the deal?
The deal is, and I chased this space for 8 months, 8.5 months. My parents, getting up in age, health's not fully there. I know I'm going to be spending more time down there. And Oak Island, North Carolina is where they moved to, where they retired to. And I had a real estate agent take me out one day, and he's trying to sell me on all these restaurants. I'm like, don't want it. This thing has 8 hibachi grills already built in. I don't know what the hell am I going to do with that. It's not location I want or anything like that. And he shows me this HVAC supply house, 6,300 square feet. He's like, well, this is on the market. And I'm like, I'll take it. Yeah. Never walked inside of it. He's like, don't you want to walk inside? I'm like, I'll do it tomorrow when they're open. I'm like, get the deal done. So well, that's 8.5 months later, I finally inked the deal 2 weeks ago when I'm down there. So the build out will start probably next month and a half.
6,300 square feet.
Yeah, 6,300
square feet. How many Amore Amargos is that?
That is, I'll tell you actually, because we've done the math.
Oh, Jesus.
That is, now if you don't stack them, if you do not stack the Amore Amargos, it is 26.25.
26 and a quarter Amore Amargos.
But if you stack them, to my 20 feet ceilings, 65.625.
65 and more than a half of my bar can fit inside of what you're going to build out as a bar.
Exactly.
On Oak Island.
I had to redo the math because I was giving you 2 feet at 242 instead of 240. So it's going off of memory.
So yeah, you probably lost at least one bar.
Yeah.
So we kind of talked about, like, we've talked about it in the past on the show, but like the idea of, like, and like also like the Voltaire space has been a restaurant before, so you had some plumbing done, you went in, you did renovations. This obviously is a like kind of a raw space.
Yeah,
you're gonna be building out everything, so going from taking over a space.
And you're going to be doing it from a distance. You're not moving down there right away.
Well, I'm very fortunate to have a core group of people that a lot of them actually came up from North Carolina to work on Voltaire. The whole thing is I knew this was happening, so they came up to work on this while we discussed Voltaire down south. So
Roger.
I have a GC who's also licensed HVAC, who's licensed steelwork, who's licensed woodwork, who's licensed electrical, who's licensed plumbing.
Wow.
So he's licensed for the entire state.
Jeez.
So like he comes in.
It's a one-man show.
It's a one-man show. But like he has, John, who's his wood guy. Tim. So like then there's Mike Benson, who helped us with Voltaire, who's been a friend of mine for 20-plus years. He's already coming up with the interior design and what it's going to look like. I'm the one spacing out where I want the kitchen, where I want the bar, where I want that. Because, like North Carolina is a different animal than New York. One instance of it being a different animal and something that would ruin Amore Amargo and make it almost impossible down there is that from the space behind the bar, from whatever you touch on that back wall to wherever you touch on that front bar, be it mechanical, be it anything, you have to have 3 feet of clearance. Yes.
Required.
That's
required.
An actual, zoning,
an actual zoning law. You have to have 3 feet required. You would lose another 2 feet.
Most of my bar. Why? Yeah. Why is that?
The funny thing about
is that ADA or
it's not ADA because it's behind the bar. It's right. More health department. Health department is very involved in the construction down there.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's the funny thing is like when one of the first times I went to Amore Amargo, when they have their glass racks, they can actually put the glass rack on one end of the glass rack, normal size glass rack.
On the back
rack.
Of the bar.
One's on the back of the bar and one's on the front bar.
Yeah.
And that's how you restock your glassware.
It spans a typical restaurant dishwasher glass rack spans from my back bar to my front bar.
Yeah. That bar would not be approved.
Enough that I can sit it there while I unload it.
Yeah, that bar would not be approved in North Carolina.
No, yeah, there's no way.
Is that common for a lot of states or is that
I don't know. I've never opened a bar in another state.
Yeah, who knows? But that's nuts. But doesn't matter. You've got plenty of room.
Yes.
And what are you going to build in this space?
What's the concept
and what are you going to put in there?
You could park a fucking airplane in there, man.
Well, my parents are going to park their boat in there until I start construction.
Jesus Christ.
It's two 17 by 17 garage door bays because it was an old HVAC supply house. So it's two blocks off the ocean, smack dab in the middle of the island, thoroughfare.
Whenever I'm building my HVAC supply place, I'm thinking, I need to have ocean adjacent.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised.
Well, just thinking about it, it's like since we've been so used to living in small spaces, in New York, like you said, you lived in LA before. Do you not just like... Are you not like a excited puppy dog, like panting and freaking out?
Oh, I'm kidding. Christmas when I finally signed this lease.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say more excited. All my bars were my babies, and I thoroughly enjoyed opening every single one of them. But this one, I'm like,
coming up with crazy shit? Like, I'm going to have a volleyball court.
We'll talk about the skeleton. It's all cartilage, but the shark skeleton that's going to be going above the big ass fan.
Oh,
in the main space. Oh, yeah.
Big-ass fan?
Oh, yeah. No, we're doing trademark big-ass fan because we have the space for it. And it also just
one of those.
Actually works.
Yeah, they're amazing.
They're amazing. So doing that, Mike Benson's always, he's already gone out and found, the little wooden skeletons of chickens and stuff that you put together. He found one of a shark, and he's literally going to put it in a CAD program and just do it to scale and create this, 100-foot aluminum shark that's just a put together skeleton. Yeah, the ideas we have for this space are amazing.
You're just going ham with this.
Because it's so big and because we can do anything we want. It's our space. It's a blank canvas.
Yeah. So what's the concept? What are you going to be selling?
Okay. Concept is
I get because that you're going to build big, a like, fucking with, circus in there, but what's with, like, what are you selling me?
SLA, well, ABC in North Carolina also allows for off-premise. With on-premise, so
fuck you.
So that side, that left-hand side, that left side garage door is going to become probably.
Tell me you're doing a drive-through.
I'm not doing a drive-through. Not doing a drive-through. It is going to become about a 300 to 400 square foot walk-in cooler, focusing on cans because bottles aren't allowed on the beach. Canned wine, canned
that's
beer.
That's brilliant.
I'm sure I will have bottles, but focusing on North Carolina breweries. Hopefully having a can, a mobile canning unit. To where the North Carolina breweries that don't have cans, I can just go and can their kegs and package them in the store. We're doing, seven to eight frozen drink machines.
Wait. Stay with that one for a second.
Okay.
You're going to have your own canning machine.
That's the plan.
So you can go to a local brewery that doesn't do cans,
yes.
Grab a keg, can their beer for them,
yes.
I want to sell it on my site.
There's Ironheart, they do that.
Yeah.
And that's the whole business. And they have a mobile canning unit.
And you label it and everything?
Mm-hmm.
So they'll get their name will be on the label. That's amazing.
Well, I'll probably do generic labels saying Paul's of Oak Island, but with the can that's in there, or the beer that's in the can.
Who the hell says no to that? That'll boom their business.
Totally.
Yeah, that's the plan. There's already, canned growler stations that are popping up around here. Treadwell just up the street from me, where Ann, the first female sister, I'm like, she's doing canned growling stations there. I plan on having a canned growling station at the bar. Any beer that I have on tap, I probably do 15 to 20 taps. Anything I have on tap, can it right there, 12, 16, 32 ounces, take it to the beach.
What?
Yeah. So walk out with it. Something that, there's other ideas. There's one idea I can't talk about yet, but it's going to change the way people go to beach there. And let's just say there's an app being developed for it, and I'll announce that next year.
Jeez.
It's way cryptic, but when you hear it, you're going to be like, yes.
You're like, we're going to be like, I should have done that first.
Yeah, I'll talk about that one off here.
Okay. We'll just tweet it out later.
Stand by, listener.
Thanks, 45.
But the thing is, do you think that you would have, I don't know, I feel like having the handicap of space limitations in New York, and you do so much with the limited amount of space and resources that you have in this city. So it's like when you get to have a big space like that, then it's like you've been training with weights on, right? And then you take the weights off and then you just blast off, right?
Yeah, let me see when I get down there and I have to deal with other people on island time.
Right. Oh my gosh, that's a different thing.
That's a thing. Whereas here we have to deal with, just the sheer number of people trying to get the same thing done that we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Down there, it's like, I'll get to you on Wednesday, maybe Thursday.
Yeah.
Probably
next week. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
But I will say, I put in for the change of use permit, and the fire marshal on the island called me the next morning because he didn't want to be the one that held anything up. So I was able to talk to him.
Wow.
Have him email over a bunch of stuff. He's like, the moment you're ready, just let me know. I'm not going to be the reason you get held up. I'm like, that is brilliant. Thank you.
Southern hospitality.
Yeah.
Right, because, like you said, everybody's not trying to get the same thing done all at the same time.
Exactly.
So there's no competition for the time of this guy.
No.
He's like, yeah, just let me know.
He's like, I have these office hours, so I got to do something.
That's the way I feel about my job, too.
Yeah, kind of starting to get that way.
Got all this whiskey. Got to do something with it. Yeah. We're not open yet.
Sell it or
guess
drink
I'll
it.
Have to drink it.
Yeah. Sell it or drink it. Rob, what social media, and how can we get in touch with you about all the different various bars?
If you want me, Rob at rpmhospitalitygroup.com.
Rob at rpmhospitalitygroup.com.
Yeah, my Instagram name is just Code NY, C-O-D-E, which is my old DJ name. But it's Code NY1, just the number one, because somebody had already had Code NY.
Sons of bitches.
My Facebook is Code NY, but Paul's OKI. Paul's OK with an S and OKI separated is Facebook. Paul's OKI is Instagram. Voltaire BKNY is Facebook and Instagram.
Awesome.
So,
hey, man, I got to ask you a question. You know, you keep going with these bars, and you've got Paul's coming up. Now, Voltaire's awesome. I've been there a few times now.
I haven't been yet. Sorry.
Well, you don't come to my neighborhood very often.
I'm just busy, man. I'm very busy right now.
Yeah, you also don't really leave Manhattan that much.
I do.
Except
so.
To come
he
here.
He doesn't leave his bed.
That's not true.
I mean, like, you should come down. Like, you're overdue for a bar crawl in my neighborhood.
I am. That's a 100% fact.
We'll go to Clover Club, Leanda. Yes. We'll go over to Voltaire.
It's been a while
Grand
since
Army.
I've been to any of those.
We'll do all that stuff. Long Island Bar. All of it. But
Le Boudoir.
Le Boudoir. Go see Frankie Marshall.
Why not?
Yeah. The question I want to ask is, you know, people say that, like, especially people like Julie Reiner, who owns, like, she's your neighbor. She's our neighbor, who owns Clover Club and Landa and Flatiron Lounge. She's like, yeah, it's kind of like, I don't have any tattoos, but it's kind of like getting a tattoo. It's like, as soon as you open your first one, you just keep going. I mean.
Oh, it's addictive.
It's addictive, right?
Yeah.
So, like. Do you see, I know that the Paul's project is going to be, I mean, you just opened Voltaire.
Yeah.
And Paul's is going to be opening. That's going to be a big project. Do you have like a cap that you've set for yourself? Or like, do you just want to keep going and keep opening spots?
Honestly, I don't know. It's really like, you know, Voltaire's doing well. It's coming in of its own just 6 weeks out or 6 weeks in, which is brilliant. If that continues and Paul's is successful, then I'll probably look to open more. But not until Paul's is open. I can't. That project's just so. It is what it is.
Yeah.
So if somebody approached me about another spot right now, I'd have to say no, obviously.
Yeah.
But talk to me in March of next year, after Paul's is open, then I'm sure I'm going to have the itch to go to open up another one.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't imagine getting such a giant place open that quickly.
I like the fact that you're expanding like outside of just like one city too.
I'm working on the same thing. That's right. We're both doing that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I love
New York. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, same. I love New York, but I've also been here. I've either been here or LA since '95. And like my wife's looking to move. Like the whole plan is, you know, we live down in Battery Park City, but I'm like, we'll probably put that apartment up on the market end of this year, beginning of next. Mm-hmm. I want a grill. I want a yard. I want a pool.
Wow.
I just
aspirations, man.
So I'm like, you know,
I want to park my motorcycle in my own garage.
Exactly.
Not rent one.
Right.
She's put limitations on the train ride she'll take to come into the city for work. You know, and I put a limitation on the amount I'll drive north of the city to tack onto that ride from Oak Island up to the house.
Right.
And so we'll probably sell into this year.
But you can make that drive pretty quickly in a little Porsche 914.
That's not me, though. That's not me. That's not my style.
Dude,
come on, every time you see me, I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt. I don't need to be. I didn't have the midlife crisis.
Why don't you have that 914? Or no, you have an MG. What do you got?
My first car was your first car. It was an MGB.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, one of my second cars was a 914. I thought we talked about that.
No. My first car was a. I still own it. Still have it.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's in Oak Island right now.
Zip up and down in that thing.
No way that would make it. No way. You'd find that thing outside of DC on the Beltway.
Well, Rob Morton, it's been great to have you on the show, talking about all your various projects. I'm really excited to go visit Voltaire with Damon. We'll have some lunch and do some drinking there in the daytime, maybe. Because you're open for lunch, right?
We are not right now, but we're open for brunch on Saturday and Sunday, but that neighborhood is kind of dictating. We started opening up earlier during the day just because of the foot traffic and stuff.
Hey, man, if the money's there, you want to capture it.
Exactly. Also, I will say
before... And also, you want to serve the community.
Yeah, I will say before, there's so many things... like this conversation sort of could have gone in so many different directions from like your all three of our look on hospitality.
Oh man,
flow of restaurant, health and wellness.
Yeah, we'll talk everything. About all that next time.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll do a mini-sode.
I would love to.
We've been talking about
The thing is, like you're on today. It's not a one and done situation.
Yeah, yeah.
You
always come back.
You come back. We want you to come back.
I'm back when you get Paul's open.
There you go.
We want to do a show from Paul's.
Yeah,
I'm totally. You know what? You
we want to do a show from the beach near Paul's.
What you do is
with some cans of beer.
With some canned beers.
You make it a 2-week trip. You hit Jack Rose one Wednesday. You come down to me the next Wednesday.
Bing, bing.
All right. Done.
All right. Upcoming shows include, but aren't limited to. Next week, we got Charlotte Voisey.
Yeah. That's
She's like a
cool.
real celebrity.
That's a. And it's actually the first time I've been talking with her for years about coming on the show. And
finally landed her.
She's a very, very busy person. So.
Following week is going to be Amy Zavato, who we had to do a little switch up with. She's got her book. Prosecco made me
right.
do it.
I unfortunately will not be here. Oh. I'll be at Camp Run Amok.
Unfortunate. Don't give me your unfortunate story that you're going to be at Camp Run Amok. Sadly, I'm going to be at the greatest place on earth. The following week is sort of. I got a bunch of question marks on the following week, so I can't say who's coming that week. But then we've got Kara Newman with her new book Nightcap, right. And also we're going to do a pre-recorded show that same day that will air at another time with Chris Hanna and Nick Dietrich from New Orleans. They're coming up. They're going to do a pop-up at My Bar Blue Quarter, and then they're going to.
And he's leaving French 75.
Hanna is leaving the French 75 after 14 years, after getting a James Beard Award, after all the accolades.
He was just doing it until he got the Beard Award.
I guess. maybe. Well, he and Nick opened up Manolito, which is just a charming, darling bar there in New Orleans, and they're opening up a new bar called Jewel, and they're going to come talk to us about that, and they're going to do a pop-up at My Bar.
You mean Bijou?
Well, it's not Frenchy.
It's in New Orleans.
Well,
it's kind of French.
Anyway, that's what's coming up. That's all I've got, Damon. You want to wrap us up and take us out?
Yeah, I just wanted to say thanks again to like for the last couple of weekends. Like, I want to say thanks again to all the people in Cleveland for coming out to Porco Lounge and Stefan and Marie and just like so many good people out there. And thanks again to all the people that came out on Sunday to the Ricky competition, all the good people out in D.C. Again, I want to say thank you as well to you, Rob, for bringing a bottle of Overholt to the studio.
Hell yeah.
We're the longest
continuously produced rye whiskey in the world.
Yeah. We've got a nice little bar getting going here.
We're shaping up a bar.
Yeah. And also...
Could you imagine if I walked out with the bottle?
Hey, it's a trade system.
Which I would never do.
One. Drop something, take something.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a free library.
It's like the book system.
Yeah. Yeah. Have a penny, take a penny.
Have a penny, take a penny.
Whatever.
And I do want to extend the invite to anyone who wants to drop into the studio. I want to thank Max Green and Travis Tober for popping in for a little bit today. That was cool. And the door's almost always open.
Almost always. Listen, if you want more from us, you can follow us and ask questions on Instagram at Speakeasy Podcast or on Twitter at Speakeasy Radio. Damon is Damon Bolte, and you can find me at Creative Drunk on all platforms. If you got time, take a moment to write us a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite platform. You can give us a star rating, 5 if possible. And if you're visiting, come hang out with us.
I forgot to mention, while in D.C., thanks again to Full Service Radio and to Shift Drink Podcast, Eddie and Jack. It was such a great time. Thanks to Todd Thrasher, who's running all the bars over there. Mm-hmm. Really great time.
Right.
So if you're around there, go check it out. You can go pop in that studio. And ice them.
Yeah. It's icing. What once was old is new again. All right. Well, thanks for listening to the Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network. Please go to heritageradionetwork.org. Press the beating heart to donate. Keep shows just like ours on air. Thanks again, guys. Cheers.
Cheers.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues that sound. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Heritage_Radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.